Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all today. And glad that we have the technology to do this, where we can connect. Of course, we understand that we are the Church of God, the body of Christ, and we're one in the Spirit, and the Lord has brought us together this morning for such a time as this. And things are certainly changing in our world, and things will continue to change, and how suddenly things can change. But thank God that we have a firm foundation in our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's got us. And He's with us, and He's for us. He's not against us. So we trust in the Lord. And God, we know that You are coming. You are preparing a bride, a people. And Jesus, at the time appointed of the Father, we know that You will come, and You will receive us. So Lord, our prayer is that You would make us ready, that You'd prepare us, body, soul, and spirit, for that day, as we see that day approaching. Oh God, I pray that You'd strengthen each one of us, strengthen Your people. And also, Lord, throughout this nation, I pray that You would send help, Lord, to those who are sick today and those who are struggling through these difficult times, Father. I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, that You would turn the hearts of our nation, God, the people of our nation, towards You, Lord, that they will find their comfort, their strength, their hope in Christ alone. For You, Lord, only in You is their hope. So I pray, Father, that You'd raise up, Lord, Your church. Awake Your church throughout this nation. Unite us together as one, Lord. Lord, and breathe new life into us. We pray for a national awakening, oh God, that You would be glorified in Your church and throughout this nation, Father, that You'll draw men, women, boys, and girls to the foot of the cross, where they'll find salvation, healing, and deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. God, we thank You that we can trust You in this storm and know that You're going to help us through. Amen. Hallelujah. So, guys, it's no mystery how quickly things can change in our lives. And now we're finding ourselves in a place, well, none of us have been before. But this is not a time to fear. It's a time for us to draw near to the Lord, because He is the one who will keep us. He will guard our hearts and our minds as we fully trust in Him. And, you know, I don't like snow. I'm glad to be living here in the Northwest, because, well, I grew up in New England. And if you are from the North, you know, from the Midwest or New England, you understand how the weather conditions can change. And yet, even though sometimes snowstorms come our way, snow is a good thing, because snow actually is good for the soil, and it contains nitrogen. And it can be a necessary element for good soil. And so God has promised us as His people that no matter what we're faced with, no matter what we're going through, that God is going to be with us, and He's going to work all these things, not just some things, but all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. And so Paul, the great apostle Paul, experienced all kinds of difficulties in his life, way beyond what you and I have encountered. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's heart was to do the will of God, to complete the assignment that God had given him. And so we need to ask the question, well, what things had happened to Paul? Well, here's a few examples in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." And he doesn't finish there. He says, "In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what come upon me daily, and my deep concern for all the churches." And yet, Paul is saying that through all these things, I've been approved as a minister of God. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4 from the New Living Translation, it says, "In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind." In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Now remember, Paul was the same apostle who said that we are to give thanks in all things and rejoice in the Lord always. And so we look at the history of his life and the things that he experienced and how he had remained faithful to his call, to his mission. He wasn't going to be detoured from the higher purpose of God for his life. And guys, if you think that we're going through tough times right now, well, maybe we need to take a look at Paul's life and do a little comparison here and see how this man who had gone through so much was able to maintain a steady course and finish his race with joy. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said this, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." He said, "Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord." And he says, "I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." You've heard it said before, but the devil is after your faith. He wants you to doubt your God. He wants to get you into fear. He wants to get us worried about life. He wants to rob us of our joy. And yet the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the Lord is our joy. And we derive our joy from him, who is our exceeding joy. And so Paul knew that there were different seasons in his life, and that he was to remain faithful to his mission. The same thing is true for us. There are different seasons. Things shift. Things suddenly change. And what used to be normal is now abnormal. And what was abnormal is now normal. And so we see how God is involved in all these things and working all these things together for good. God's going to have his way in the earth. And the Lord is preparing, amen, his people once again for the time when he returns to receive us. God wants his church to be holy. And so he instructed Timothy, his son in the Lord, in 2 Timothy 4:2. He said, "Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." True Christianity, guys, is never selfish. It's never self-centered. It's always Christ-centered. You and I are called to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and to live for the mission of God. So you can't be a Christian for yourself, but you and I are called to love and to serve one another. And so as a result of Paul's faithfulness, many were brought to faith in Christ, and God was glorified in Paul's life. Now, you know as well as I do that we all have a unique calling. We experience different things in life. No two callings are the same. And all of us are going to experience different seasons in our lives. And we need to understand that right now what we're faced with is a season. We're going through a season. But this season will change. It's not going to be forever. So hold on to the Lord. Trust him. Amen. We're in this for the long haul. Amen. And everyone's personal experience will be unique to them. And here's a few examples. We experience sickness and health, morning and evening, mountains and valleys, weeping and rejoicing, hot and cold, even life and death. Ecclesiastes 3:1, very familiar passage here. "For everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." What we see are opposites here. And yet, God has promised that he'll work all these different things together for good to them that love him. This was God's covenant to Noah after he and his family had came out of the ark. In Genesis 8
in verse 22. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall cease. Here we see the opposites again. But we cannot blame every uncomfortable situation on the devil. We need to understand that God is sovereign over all the earth. He's going to have his way, and the Lord will be glorified in all the earth. Hallelujah. In the Song of Solomon, in chapter 4, verse 16, it says, awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. So a garden needs not only the north wind, but it also needs the south wind to blow upon it, to produce beauty and fragrance. These things work together to produce a good harvest. Psalms 148, 7 and 8 says, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Now, and one of the examples I use often is that of Lazarus and his sisters weeping, not understanding why their brother was allowed to die when they had called Jesus to come and heal him. And Jesus remained several days and continued to heal others. And so in John chapter 11, verse 3, when Jesus did finally come, they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 4. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You mean sometimes sickness can be for the glory of God? That the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, I'm not suggesting that all sickness glorifies God, but we do know, according to his promise, that God has promised to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Another example is when Jesus was speaking with his disciples, and they were asking the Lord about the man who was born blind. In John chapter 9 and verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Interesting. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. So according to what the Lord said here, this was the purpose of God, that this man would be born blind so that the Lord would demonstrate his power in healing this man of his blindness. Here's another example. Jacob's sad lament. In Genesis 42, 36, this is after he had lost Joseph, and he thought that he had been gone forever, and Joseph had gone through a tremendous trial himself so that God could put him in position to be the savior of his family. And yet Jacob didn't understand what was going on all through all this. But he listened to what he said to them in verse 36. You have bereaved me, Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. You know, sometimes we feel like that, that everything is against us, that everything is working against us. And yet so often it's because we don't understand God. We don't understand what the Lord is doing. And this is where our faith will be tested. Do we truly, truly trust in the Lord and that he is good and he's good to his people and that he's working out a plan in our lives, that he's allowing everything in our lives for a reason, to bring us to a place of fruitfulness because he wants us to share in his glory. God wants us to bear fruit unto eternal life. And God wants us to know that he is with us through it all. He didn't say, I'm going to keep you from it all, but I'll be with you through it all. And God will be the strength of our life. And God wants us to trust in him and to know that his promises are true. His promises are yea and amen in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we know that often mankind, through these examples we can see, often mankind is not aware of the workings of God. Sometimes we think that we know God, but we don't know God. We're getting to know God. Amen. He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's the creator. Hallelujah. But God is allowing us to experience some things in our lives because they're good for us. So just because something bad happens in our lives doesn't necessarily mean it's bad for us. God can turn these things around for our good in the end. Hallelujah. Because God sees the end result. And just because we don't understand it, it doesn't mean it's bad. In Proverbs chapter 3, very Familiar passage, chapter 3, verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Guys, we're not going to always know why. But this is where our confidence in God has to be, that God is with me, God is for me. Why? Because that's what he promised, and I'm going to trust in him. And in all your ways, this is key, that we would acknowledge him, and he would direct our paths. And then he says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, if I was God, I would have done it this way. But we're not God, and God is smarter than we are. He's wiser. He knows better. And he's working these things together. So whether you find yourself on a mountain today or possibly in a valley, there are opposites in our lives. There's hot and cold. There's different seasons. There's sickness and then health. Know that God is with you. God is for you. Put your full trust in him. And remember this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved us that much. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That means God is loving me. God does love me, and he's working out his plan in my life. He's fulfilling his word in my life. He's fulfilling his plan, his word in your life. Trust him. Love him. Commit yourself instead fully to him. Know that he is your refuge. He is that place of security. He is your strong tower. Your God is faithful and he is true. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So guys, let's stop worrying about our lives. Amen. Instead, give your life fully to God. Hallelujah. That's the safest place for you and I, is in the hands of our Master, trusting fully in his grace every day. God will help us through every difficult thing that we face in our lives, and know that he has begun a good work, and he's faithful to complete it in your life. Hallelujah. He is our peace, guys. Isaiah 43:1, one of my favorite passages. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When, not if, but when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Guys, we don't know what the future holds. God knows that. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to have a glimpse into what's happening. But what the Lord wants us to do is rest in him. Quit our striving. Quit our worrying. Stop the fear. Find your rest in him. Find your peace in him. He is our supernatural peace. The Lord himself is our peace. He is the peace that passes all understanding. And he wants you to come to him. And he wants you to draw near to him. Especially now in this season, God is calling his church to awake and to draw near and to repent of her sins. And if my people, the ones who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants to heal America. God wants to restore America. Guys, this is our time to shine. It's time for the church to rise up. Hallelujah. The world is going to look for help. They're going to look for answers. And you and I have God on our side. Amen. He's with us. He's for us. He's not against us. And so let's be that expression of God's heart in this world, where people will know, here's someone that knows their God, that they can ask of the hope that we have within us. And we'll be able to share the love of Jesus with them and lead them to salvation in Jesus Christ. Guys, I thank you for tuning in today and being with us. And I'm going to keep you in my prayers every day. I am praying for you that God will protect you sovereignly and your families, and that God is going to quickly turn this situation around in our nation. I'd like you to join with me right now, wherever you are. Let's put our hearts together, because we are united together in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name.
that you are with us and that you are for us. And God, you're not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Almighty God, I pray, Sovereign Lord, that you would move upon America once again, that you would sovereignly move upon America again, that you bring an awakening to this nation again, that you revive your people, Lord God, throughout this nation, and that you will awaken us, Lord, from slumber. Lord, that we'll cast off the grave clothes, that we will come to life and we'll rise up and be the light again, to be the salt, Lord, to be the influence in this nation once again. Father, I pray that you send strength to your church, send strength to your people. Strengthen us with might in the inner man by your Spirit, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for salvation, healing, and deliverance to come to America. Father, I pray that you'd wake up, Lord God, those who are lost, God, wake up every wayward son and daughter. Arrest them, Holy Spirit, and bring them back. Bring them back to you and to the body of Christ. Father, we pray that you would rise up, Lord God, and you would strike down this coronavirus, God, in our nation, God, and in the nations of the earth, God. And let there be a great awakening, a national awakening, and throughout the nations of the earth, Father, that men, women, boys, and girls will turn to the living God. Hallelujah. We know, Lord God, that you are coming, that your coming is at the door. So God, prepare us and make us ready and make us holy, for we know that you will come, Father, just like you promised, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say amen. Feel free to call anytime or text. God bless you.